Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kekatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
For this week's cocktail, we're slicing things up on set with a very yummy cocktail from ciaoflorentina.com, the Sex on the Beach cocktail. To make the Sex on the Beach cocktail, you'll need 2 ounces of vodka or rum, whichever you prefer, 3.5 ounces of freshly squeezed orange juice, 3.5 ounces of cranberry juice, 2 splashes of peach schnapps, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 cups of ice, and more as needed. To make the cocktail, you'll fill 2 highball glasses with ice cubes 3/4 of the way up. Divide your vodka or rum between the 2 glasses, top with cranberry orange juice and a splash of the peach schnapps on top. Add 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract as a float to each glass and enjoy. So grab your Sex on the Beach and let's jump into this week's episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Sip With Me. We are so excited to be featuring Chicagoan Jessica Steinrock on our podcast. She's an intimacy coordinator and the CEO of Intimacy Directors and Coordinators. And per her official bio, she holds a PhD in theater at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Some of her most known work includes Moxie and Never Have I Ever on Netflix, Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu, and Animal Kingdom on TNT. She's also grown her TikTok to over 700,000 followers, sharing all about how intimate scenes work or don't work on TV and more about her role on set. She's here to give us a backstage tour into what it's like to coordinate intimate, emotional, and vulnerable scenes. Jessica, welcome to Sip With Me.
Welcome.
Hello, hello. It's so good to meet you both.
I am very excited for this interview. This is like something... It's something that I don't know a lot about, probably like many others. Ioana found your TikTok page. That's how we kind of found you. And Ioana and I are also really into, like, we watch all the therapy shows, couple therapy shows. We're on therapy TikTok. Like, that's kind of a vibe. And so I just thought, like, this is such an interesting thing that exists, and probably most people have no idea exists, and that it entails so much. And as we learned from our intro, if you won't hear this if you're listening to the episode, but we had to say the word intimate about 5 times because it is a heavy word and it's complex.
Yes.
So first and foremost, just tell us a little bit about yourself and then define for us what an intimacy coordinator is and does.
Yeah. So I'm Jessica. I am an intimacy coordinator, but I also am an actor, performer, improviser. I love sea otters and ice cream. And
oh my God.
We love sea otters.
Wait, look, do you see my sweatshirt right now?
Yeah, we are obsessed with sea otters.
Look at my little sea otter.
No way.
Oh my gosh.
There's a sea otter on my hoodie right now. I'm not even kidding. This is not planned.
Well. Because we do a lot of like introductions in my work. I teach a lot of workshops. And one of the questions I always ask is like, what's something that brings you great joy? And sea otters is always my answer.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we love sea otters.
I think we're now best friends. This is great.
Oh God.
So that's who I am, you know, on a surface level. But what intimacy coordination is as a discipline, as an art form, we are essentially creating a codified system for performing and coordinating scenes of nudity, simulated sex, heightened material, simulated genital contact, those kinds of stories. So intimacy coordinators are advocates, meaning we are there to advocate for the needs and safety of actors, directors, cast and crew, everyone who's involved in the storytelling. We're a liaison, which means we are working with all sorts of different departments. We're working with costumes, the actors, the camera folks to make sure that the piece comes together. And then we're also choreographers and movement specialists, which means we help make things look real when they are not real. So yeah. In that way, we're very similar to, say, a stunt coordinator that makes a fake punch look real, and we make fake sex look real.
So interesting. How does somebody like get into, I personally feel like this is like a really specific field and a very specific mm-hmm. job. Mm-hmm. How did you kind of find a pathway? I know you have a PhD, you have a background in theater. How did you ultimately weave into this role?
Yeah, something that's probably really important to note is that this role is actually relatively new. We didn't see it come into the common entertainment vernacular till like 2017, 2018, 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Problematic.
So this is a very new discipline and practice. Now, of course, it's got tons of years of training and experience and people who've been doing stuff very similar to this. Yeah. There are many artists who've been working in consent, many artists who've been working in intimacy. So it's not to say that like it just appeared in 2017 or 2018, but when it comes to it becoming a more standardized, popularized part of the entertainment industry, it's really new. So I got very lucky to be in the right place at the right time with the right skill set and the resources to allow me to take a risk into this newly emerging discipline. My background, as I kind of mentioned before, is in improv and stand-up comedy and as an actor. And so when I was getting my master's degree, which was also in theater, I was studying how do we navigate consent in improvised settings. So when you go on stage and you're trying to be funny, but there's no script, how do you in character negotiate consent on stage in front of an audience without ruining the spontaneity and comedy of what we're working on? So that was very much my entrance into consent-based theater making. My husband is also in the theater world and he is a stage combatant fight director. So yeah, we're quite the pair. He's the kill, I'm the kiss.
That's amazing.
So, but he was doing a lot of, stunts and fights and things of that nature. And I followed him to some stage combat workshops for fun. I am not a stage combat person whatsoever. But I went to some workshops for fun. And through those, I met some folks in the stage combat world that were exploring how we can utilize the same techniques that were used for fight scenes for scenes of intimacy. So for me personally, I met a woman named Tonya Sina and another woman named Alicia Rodas, both of whom have been huge pioneers and advocates for this work. Alicia Rodas, namely, being the first person to hold that title, intimacy coordinator, on season 2 of HBO's The Deuce. And over time and through continued collaboration, me bringing my experience in consent and improv into this work, I had some opportunities to get trained, to work with, help develop, and I moved out to LA and was one of the first 3 intimacy coordinators doing this work out there. So that's my pathway, which is not one that like a lot of other folks can be like, that's the one I would like to pick. So I have created a company that trains intimacy professionals and intimacy coordinators, and a lot of our goal is to make the pathway to this career more accessible, more inclusive, more equitable, so that folks don't have to just know the right person to get the right room to get the job, etc.
Wow. This makes a lot of sense now. I was wondering like how it all came together, and then you have your company too. And I was wondering what the timeline was. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a really strange pathway, but I really couldn't be happier with the amazing folks I've gotten to collaborate with and meet, and watching this work grow and expand far beyond anything I could have imagined it to be.
So for obviously us who are not intimacy coordinators and a lot of our listeners, we kind of have no idea what it looks like day to day. So kind of talk us through what I guess a typical day could be like, and what does it entail exactly, and how do you really prep actors for an intimacy scene?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say 90% of the work I do actually happens before I even step foot onto set. There is so much prep that goes into a scene of intimacy. I'm reading through scripts to figure out what the scene might need, what questions I might need to ask. I'm meeting with the director to understand their vision and get a sense of what kind of shots they want to see, how much skin they want to see, what positions they want to see, and getting a real sense of what's the energy, vibe, story. Once I understand all of that, I'm in communication with the actors. And of course, the actors are also in communication directly with the director. And so all of this communication is happening, sometimes at the same time, sometimes not. But I always do meet individually with each actor to get a sense of what their boundaries are, what needs they have that will help them do their best work, and what they want set to feel like on the day to help them produce the story and help them, again, do their best work. So all of that is happening. I'm meeting with costume department to figure out what modesty garments we need, because 9 times out of 10, even if it looks like the actors are completely naked, they are indeed wearing something, whether that's a strapless thong or some shorts or even sweatpants in some cases. So I'm working with the costume department to make sure we have all of the tools and all of the tools that are needed to make the scene happen. Mm-hmm. And so then when we actually step foot onto set that day to film, everybody knows exactly what's supposed to happen. There's no surprises. There's no negotiation on the day, except for maybe minor tweaks because, oh, we realize that the sun through that window is making a weird shadow, so we're going to pivot something, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not adding any nudity. We're not adding any new positionings. We're not adding anything crazy because we've done all of this prep work and everybody is really on board. And then on the day, I'm helping to set choreography. I'm checking the takes to make sure everything that's supposed to be covered is covered, and generally making sure that everybody has what they need to produce a really awesome, sexy story.
Oh my God, so interesting.
There's so much like behind the scenes you don't think of, I feel like, to prepare for a scene like that. When you watch it, at least as a viewer, you're like, oh, it I always assume that they just kind of like dealt with that scene in the moment. I clearly know nothing about TV and film.
I mean, historically, that's not the case sometimes. Yeah. You know, it was, and again, truly, as we start to make this more of a professionalized thing, we're seeing more standardization of, okay, what's it look like to actually handle a sex scene? And sometimes that was happening prior to intimacy coordinators. There are many folks who've taken it with deep intentionality and care, but there are lots of stories that you hear of folks saying on the day, okay, great, what are we going to do? And it can be a bit of a surprise. It can cause nervousness and tension. There's an element of winging it that just isn't safe when it comes to performing simulated sex scenes. So having that prep, having all of those departments work together really helps enhance the story.
Maybe there's data on this, maybe it's an opinion question. Are the amount of intimate scenes in TV and movies increasing? Or is that just because I'm consuming more content since the pandemic?
I will say streaming television has different regulations about what can be seen and not seen. So with the increase of streamed television, I do think we have seen an increase in amount and level of intimate content. I don't know specifically if that actually correlates to data of more or less, but I do know that the rules are changing now with more online and digitalized content.
And what are some misconceptions that people have about this role and intimate scenes on movie and TV sets that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think the biggest misconception is that folks think I'm coming in there to sterilize the production or to say, right, like, no, we're not going to do it. We can't, no nudity for you, you know, or that I'm there to get in the way of the director or to tell actors, like, no, you can't do that, or you can't be impulsive. You can't, you can't treat this scene in a way that makes you feel like you're doing art, you know, that I'm there to essentially say no constantly. Yeah. But I think that over the last couple of years, I get that opinion less and less because I think more and more folks have now worked with intimacy coordinators, because really what we're there to do is to facilitate the vision in a way that everybody feels good about. And I love really spicy content. I think it's fantastic. So I'm a huge fan. But I also am a bigger fan of boundaries, and that folks get to choose what feels good for themselves, and that there's always a way to tell the story. Sometimes folks think that, like, oh, if so-and-so doesn't want to do this, then we have to scrap everything. When in reality, there's almost always a way to find a middle ground where we're still telling a story, but we're also respecting the actor's boundary. For instance, if they don't want to, like, expose their chest, maybe they're totally okay exposing their full back, so we can tell the story of someone being topless from the waist up without that person ever needing to expose their full chest.
Interesting. I think we've seen too, like, I think it was a week ago, Penn, I'm forgetting his last name, the U actor who came out and said that, you know, he's not feeling really comfortable, doing certain intimacy scenes because he's married. And I thought that was really awesome to see, because I feel like we haven't really seen a lot of actors or people come out feeling comfortable to be able to have a voice and, like, say they're not comfortable in these positions. So that was really awesome to see. And then, kind of side note, this is kind of a, I recently got married in July. So thank you. So I'm wondering if you have any advice for real couples. Really, I'm being selfish here because I need all the advice. any advice that you've learned as an intimacy coordinator that you could share with us all, because we're both in committed relationships, me and Aaron. So,
yeah, I mean, what's so fascinating is that, like, the experience of filming a sex scene on television is one of the least sexy things you can ever do. It is, like, hot and sweaty and, like, not in a fun way. You know, you are essentially, like, all of your undergarments are taped onto you. There's padding in places where padding normally isn't. Like, it can be a really weird thing. And then the positions that are designed to be good for camera.
Cameras,
not necessarily good for the body. Or actually, like, pleasure inducing for the people performing those scenes. So, like, you know, as an intimacy coordinator, one of the things I check in on really regularly is, hey, how are your hips handling up? You know, do we need to take a break? Like, does your body, like, is there pain? Do we need to find a more sustainable position? That's a common question, just because actors also might be in those positions for over an hour because we're getting lots of different angles. Oh my gosh. All of the angles have to match. So for me, when it comes to real world relationship advice, my relationship advice is not really in the steamy realm. My relationship advice is about communication and boundary setting. I think if we go back to the interview with Penn, one of the things that I think is so important is that he's defining what fidelity means in his personal relationship. And that's going to look different to everybody. Like, me personally, me personally, if I were an actor, do I see being involved in a sex scene as being unfaithful? No, but that's because me and my partner would have discussed that, decided what our boundaries were, been in clear communication, and then also left room for that boundary to change. Because maybe, you know, I'm season one, season two, and I'm like, this is great. And then something happens in my relationship, doesn't matter what, where I'm suddenly like, you know what? This feels not great. And if it doesn't feel great or sustainable, don't do it. So it's that communication flow that to me is really what anchors relationships and can make doing something like a spicy scene for television sustainable with a real world relationship as well.
Therapy.
Yeah, I was going to say therapy.
Yeah, okay, wait though. But seriously, therapy is the best. My partner and I have three therapists between us and I love it all.
A multi-network approach.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you have to have a multi-network approach. That's a great word for it. Therapy is the best.
Yes. My last question for you, as I mentioned, we found you on TikTok. So you have truly blown up on there. You are approaching a million. Just talk a little bit about your TikTok. What kind of content do you post? How do you choose what kind of scenes or things that you explain, myths that you bust, things like that? Kind of tell us about your TikTok page.
Yeah. So kind of as we talked about earlier, intimacy coordination is really new. This is a profession that wasn't around. I remember being in high school, Googling, how do they film those scenes?
Yes.
And it's fascinating.
I couldn't find much of anything. Or the stuff that I did find was the, like, really salacious things where so-and-so said they really did it, or this person cried yeah. at the end of a set scene, you know, like whatever that is, like the really salacious, almost traumatic stories mm-hmm. that make it to media. And then becoming an actor and performer myself, I was like, I don't know what it means to do this professionally, safely. I'm going in completely without any knowledge of what a professional environment might look like. Now, if I know sort of, even though I'm not a stunt coordinator, I know sort of what to expect with a stunt scene, right? I know that there'll be a stunt coordinator there to help talk me through it, help answer my questions. I know that I shouldn't jump off of a 10-foot building without some kind of padding or a harness, right? Like you kind of know yeah. these things. But with intimacy scenes, it was just this huge mystery. So when I started making TikToks, for me, it was about, is there a way to demystify what goes on during these scenes and really show folks that there's a lot of technicality, a lot of artistry, a lot of intentionality behind what goes on in these scenes. So I also, again, come from a comedy background, and I like to find ways to keep this conversation light and approach with joy. There is a lot of trauma that has been historically in the discipline of intimacy work, where actors have been mistreated, abused, where folks on set have been mistreated or abused for the sake of getting a scene of intimacy. Communication hasn't happened. Folks have experienced real harm. And my hope is that there is a way to honor and heal and find joy in these scenes, because if you don't have joy in these scenes, you shouldn't do them. And there should also be still ways for you to say, nope, I don't want to do that kind of scene, and I can still be an actor. We have yeah. to create space for both. So that's how I always approach my content, is how do we make this inviting, welcoming, something that used to be scary? How do we make it less scary? And how do we give folks agency to choose their level of interaction with this kind of content without feeling like now they just can't participate in the industry at all if they don't want to do this one kind of work?
This is like good life advice. Like, I feel like me and Aaron need to hear this. We have a hard time with the word no, and feeling, and that's, it's comforting to know that there are other options. And like, wow. Yeah,
it's the yes no dynamic is a really powerful one. Yeah. I play a game in some workshops that I do that's just practicing saying yes and no. And it is astonishing how difficult it can be for some folks to say no.
Yeah.
Very progressive, reformed approach. I like it.
We try.
A new lens for the future. Okay, our last question for you, looking into the future, do you have any exciting or fun plans, projects, etc., things that you want to shout out for 2023 or beyond?
So I can't specifically say any of the projects I'm working on or might work on, but there are some in the pipeline that I'm very excited about. As far as it comes to my work as CEO of Intimacy Directors and Coordinators, we are continuing to train new intimacy professionals and expand foundational knowledge of what consent in the arts looks like. So we have some really cool initiatives coming up, a lot of really cool classes. If folks are in the arts or interested about intimacy work, we're about to release our foundational course that is takes you through all of the different aspects and lets you see what modesty garments are, what barriers are, and has a lot of interviews with working intimacy professionals. So that's a really exciting offering that if folks are interested about in learning more about intimacy work, it'll be a nice rundown of everything that goes into what we do.
Sweet. I love it. So cool.
Yeah.
And then we end every episode with a round of rapid fire. So we have 5 questions for you. We just want your first go-to answer.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, Ioana, take it away.
Okay, best part of your job?
Working with really amazing humans to create stories.
Yes. I know you've probably met so many interesting people. I cannot even imagine the stories you have.
I mean, and the different perspectives and artistry that they bring, like, it's just, I can't even begin to say how grateful I am for their input.
It's so cool. What is the biggest misconception about your job?
The biggest misconception about, maybe not my job, but that scenes in general, is that, like, you know, actors are actually ever doing it, and that's just not. which is not true.
There are a lot of shows on the streaming platforms where you're just like,
it's real.
Like, how? This has to be CGI if it's not real. Like, it just looks like it's insane what they can do.
Yes.
Okay, biggest thing you've learned working as an intimacy coordinator?
That my boundaries are just as important as the other folks' boundaries who I'm advocating for. Now, I say that like I'm really good at that, and I'm not. Let's be clear. I can advocate for days for someone else, but for myself, all of that pressure and that tension is still like top of mind. But that's the biggest thing I've learned, is that my boundaries are important to protecting other people's boundaries as well.
Nice. That's right. Everybody who is able needs to be in therapy.
Yes.
You're here.
All right. What is your favorite TikTok topic to share or talk about?
My favorite TikTok topic is the strapless thong modesty garments. I think they're just funny looking, and the way we put them on is rather humorous. And I just get a chuckle every time.
I love it.
Okay. And last rapid fire question. We're a cocktail based podcast. So do you have a favorite cocktail or non-alcoholic beverage of choice?
I do. I am very into old fashions at the moment. I make a pretty mean old fashioned. Though I will say I've been in a bit of a like dry kick, you know, damp January, damp February. Same. And I recently found a rather passable Aperol Spritz cocktail that totally tastes like booze and has no booze in it. Like Lyrie's or something, but it's like an Amalfi Spritz, and throw a little orange slice in it, and I swear there's booze in it, and there's definitely not.
Ooh, y'all have to share that with
me. Yeah, I'll have to try it.
It's great.
I love that. Awesome. Well, tell everyone where they can find you online, where they can follow you on TikTok, and how they can find out more about your company.
Yes. So you can follow me on TikTok at Intimacy Coordinator. I'm also on Instagram. The handle, though, is Intimacy_Coordinator_. So a little bit different there. You can also learn more about my company, Intimacy Directors and Coordinators, what it takes to become an intimacy director or coordinator, and any kind of intimacy training that you're looking for. And that's at idcprofessionals.com.
Awesome. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us, getting nice and intimate with us. And
anytime.
Best of luck on your future projects. We are excited to hear about them, and we will have to check in again at some point in the future.
Amazing. Well, it was so great meeting you both, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book, as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram at sipwithme_.